host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to Alchemy. Today we have a very special activation program, and we're featuring Public Goods. I'm joined today by Miles Pindus, Performance Marketing Manager at Public Goods, and also James Romelli, Trading Manager at Philo. Guys, it's great to have you both on the show together.
So great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome, guys. Well, for everyone that's tuning in, if you don't know Public Goods, they are essentially a one-stop shop for sustainable, high-quality, and affordable products that are good for people and good for the planet. So, you know, Miles, I think, why don't you kick us off and talk to us a little bit about, you know, for one, the company, talk to us about Public Goods, but also, you know, talk to us about your role as performance marketing manager and, you know, why you decided to also launch a CBD brand.
Sure. Public Goods is basically, I mean, you kind of summed it up perfectly. I think of us as a company that sells everything that you can find in your home, right? Or that any home might have. You know, it's anything from shampoo and body wash to nuts and snacks to kitchenware and CBD. So, and you know, and soon we've got wine coming soon. So pretty much everything that you can find, you know, in your kitchen or in your bedroom, you know, will eventually, we have all kinds of cool stuff that's slated, but anything you can find in your kitchen, your bedroom, your bathroom, is what we sell with a little twist that we're just a more sustainable version. So, for instance, you know, we have tree-free products. So our toilet paper is made from bamboo. And all of the plastic that's used in the product or in the bottle is made from sugarcane plastic as opposed to petroleum plastic.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very good. I would say I'm pleased to hear about that with the bamboo, because I have a bamboo, I have like a bamboo forest growing on my property and it's out of control. And I'm happy to hear that there's a good use for it.
Yeah, well, if you've got a little too much, you know, why don't you send some over?
I was going to say, we might have to arrange that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I think, you know, I was really, you know, quite interested in hearing a little bit more about, you know, the CBD line. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, when you guys were coming up with this, like, what was the original media strategy on launching that?
Sure. So let me talk a little bit about myself to answer the second part of your question, and I think that'll lead in easily. So I'm the performance marketing manager. I'm sort of the interim head of growth at the moment. I'm basically a one man team at the moment. Essentially, the Ryan Mason of Public Goods, if anyone's a soccer fan. But basically I manage all of our different growth channels across every single one of our products, right? So this is all of the normal channels, including, you know, Facebook, Google, YouTube. You know, we spend, you know, quite a bit on podcasting. We've run connected television, we've run out of home, we're going to run more out of home, you know, and including programmatic, including Philo. So, you know, what was the reason that Public Goods decided to launch, you know, a CBD line? I think it just fits very much with our brand, with our ethos, and I think it's a popular product with our customers. But ultimately, what I was most concerned with is just the product fit. And so I think we've seen that with, you know, decently strong affinity that our customer base has for these products. So you asked about the media launch, and the truth is we really didn't do a ton. At this moment, it's very difficult to advertise CBD products. There aren't a ton of channels that you can use. I know that's changing pretty soon. But there aren't a ton of channels that you can use to advertise CBD. And there's certainly no traditional channels, right? It's certainly not like you can just throw on an ad on ESPN or anything, really, you know. And it's not like you can advertise on Facebook or Google without, you know, some kind of workaround at the moment. So that's really what led us to attempting not just working with programmatic, but also specifically working with Philo, which was a CBD specific, you know, CBD specific advertising brand.
Awesome. So I think this is probably a pretty good opportunity to loop in our expert here. So, you know, James, from a, you know, channel perspective, you know, what were for one, what were some of the channels that you leveraged for the program? And talk to us also a little bit about the strategy and where did the ads run in terms of inventory? So kind of give us the whole kit and caboodle there.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with an audience strategy approach here, because I think, you know, the way that we approach campaigns is always rooted in a very prescriptive and specific audience-focused strategy. To Miles's point, even in the programmatic channels that we run, we don't have the same level of access to inventory that a traditional CPG or brick-and-mortar retail brand would. So for us, it's really important to start with some sort of behavioral signal that identifies a consumer as someone that we want to be reaching, and then reach that consumer across whatever content they're engaging with that will take CBD ads. So our audience strategy is really focused on those behavioral signals that identify a consumer's propensity or over-indexing against CBD purchasing. And we go about that in a number of different ways. First and foremost, transaction data identifying consumers that have historical purchase activity around CBD is kind of the core of our audience strategy. Generally speaking, CBD consumers are consumers that are willing to try new products that align with the value props that they, you know, look for in a specific brand. And in addition to that, we're also able to blend a lot of that historical purchase data with additional interest signals that identify consumers that would have a specific affinity for not only the CBD line of products that Public Goods offers, but the other products that they offer as well. So what we see is that consumers who have affinity for CBD products and things like health and beauty products, other sorts of sustainable or organic products, have a lot of tendencies to engage with ads that feature CBD. And that was kind of the core of our audience strategy, was identifying those key interests and behaviors, going beyond just transaction data, and also aligning the audience targeting with interests that make sense for the ethos of the Public Goods brand. In terms of inventory, you know, we have the ability to run across a number of different exchanges for programmatic display, and our approach to compliance opens up a lot of avenues that we wouldn't otherwise be able to leverage. And when we look at where we deliver across the top sites in terms of this specific activation and campaign, we see a lot of really broad lifestyle content, People.com, Daily Mail, The New York Times, BuzzFeed, and other things like CBS Sports, a lot of cooking-related content as well. And these are all things that, when we think about the interests that we're going after and the consumers that we're targeting, make a lot of sense, right? These are publications that are really widely known, and other brands that are outside of this vertical show up there as well, which also adds like a extra layer of gravitas or legitimacy to the CBD brands that are being advertised alongside those.
Miles, you know, kind of going back to programmatic, have you guys, prior to Philo, had you run any programmatic campaigns before?
We actually ran with another agency that was doing non-CBD stuff at like concurrently with Philo, and I'm obviously not going to state the name, but we're not working with them anymore because Philo's performance was so much stronger. But that was really the first time that we had dipped our toe in a programmatic.
Now I'm looking at my notes here, and it looks like, Miles, when we kind of started working together after that initial first month test, you actually had run a sales study to determine really how impactful the campaign was. What exactly did the results tell you?
Yeah, so I think I should discuss that the reason for the study in the first place, because there are some people who can go very in depth with attribution. I'm not going to right now, but essentially, we have the dashboard that Philo provides for us, which gives us a lot of excellent information. But the truth of the matter is, there are many there's a lot of things that happen before somebody converts, right? It's not like it's a straightforward path. Somebody sees an ad and they immediately convert. There's all these little touch points. There's a delay, you know, not everybody signs up right away or purchases right away. It's a very complex path to a purchase, right? Specifically within programmatic, I would say it's even a little bit more complex within programmatic. So the way that I decided to measure this was I said, okay, well, this is the only advertising that we are doing for CBD. So if there's a correlation between, you know, something for our spend or our CPA within the Philo dashboard, you know, a correlation between that and then overall sales, so lift analysis, then we know it's working, right? Then it's pretty much guaranteed. So what we saw was that the first week or so that we were working with Philo, you know, the CPA was very high, as it is whenever you launch a channel. And that didn't correlate to a ton of sales within our first week. But after that, once they were able to get, once you know, James and his team was able to get the CPA down to extremely manageable level, like an extremely manageable level, we saw the number of sales and the total CBD sales skyrocket, shoot up, right? So that's basically what we found, was that as their targeting became better and better and more precise, we saw that reflected in our overall CBD sales.
Interesting. So James, maybe give us, you know, a little bit of insight on, you know, what was it that helped you guys really achieve, you know, that return on ad spend and also the massive bump in the unique sales on the CBD side?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it really does speak very strongly to the audience targeting that we have in place, identifying consumers that have actually taken real world actions in terms of their purchases that show us that there are people that are going to be aligned or at least interested in what Public Goods has to offer in terms of CBD products. So starting from a place that is based on that transaction data definitely puts us in a position where, you know, we don't have to go through all of the learning phases that we would if we were, say, just targeting a broad demographic audience. Understanding the interests that are popping within that overall program helps us optimize a lot faster when we're starting from a transaction data based starting point in terms of consumer profile. From there, we then take a really specific approach to optimizing where we're running placements. As I mentioned earlier, it's very difficult to scale a CBD or cannabis-focused campaign in the same way that you would a CPG brand or a non-cannabis related brand. And so what we do is find the opportunities within our overall site and audience targeting mix where we're seeing over performance, and then we'll optimize our bids or what we're willing to pay for those specific combinations of opportunities to give us increased performance and efficiency across the whole buy, because we can't, you know, really go about an approach where we're cutting huge swaths of sites or inventory from the overall targeting set, because that's not going to leave us with a scalable amount of inventory to run against. Mm-hmm. So that type of approach really helps us scale quickly to generate learnings and improve performance at the same time. So I think, you know, that's something else that, you know, I can't take, or my team can't take all of the credit for, is that, you know, Public Goods is an established brand with really strong general awareness, particularly among consumers who might be living in those CBD transaction data sets, because so much of the other product offerings align really closely with the types of things that CBD consumers over-index for. And I think, you know, Jeff, you or Miles mentioned this kind of at the top of the recording here, but you know, the very first thing that you see when you go to the Public Goods website is this is your one-stop shop for healthy, sustainable, everyday essentials that you can trust. And I think that that sums up perfectly the value props that CBD consumers look for in a specific brand. So when, you know, we're driving traffic to a site that has some sort of baseline level of awareness and their overall positioning, the brand's ethos, as Miles put it, aligns exactly with the types of things that CBD consumers hold valuable, I think it, you know, creates a really, really great situation for, you know, us to learn things much more quickly than we would in a situation where there wasn't some sort of existing baseline. And I also think that the expansive portfolio of products that align well with the other things that CBD consumers hold interesting also, again, adds a, you know, layer of legitimacy to the brand for consumers who are coming there with no familiarity of Public Goods before they saw this ad. So all of those things work in tandem and, you know, create a confluence of, you know, positive starting point and learnings that we can then leverage to, you know, optimize things much faster.
good insight. So I think from, you know, Miles, just kind of going back to you, I think from the beginning of the campaign, you know, obviously that first month was really kind of the test phase. And since then, you've really, you know, scaled up budget and you've seen some pretty great results. So, you know, I'm sure from a campaign insights perspective, you probably were able to uncover a lot more detail on who your consumers are. So, you know, such as where they live, what their interests are. And I'm just curious on your end, you know, have any of the campaign insights, you know, informed your broader marketing strategy in any way that you didn't think about before?
Sure. So I would say not at the moment, only because we have, you know, we have very similar data in Facebook, or we used to have very similar data in Facebook. Those days are long gone. But we have very similar data in Google Ads, which is a huge platform for us, right? We're spending, you know, comfortably into the six figures a month on Google Ads. So we really get a pretty excellent insight into what's happening based off of that, based off of what we see in Google Analytics, based off of what we see in our backend data. So there hasn't been a ton that we can go, okay, this is an area that it's, you know, particularly helpful for us from in terms of coordinating the rest of our marketing strategy. Where I do think we'll be able to pull a lot of info from, and where down the road I think this stuff will be extremely valuable, is CBD was a big launch for us, right? Like it was definitely in line. It definitely kind of fit with the brand narrative and it fit with who our customers were, but it was a big shift from what we sell usually, right? Usually we sell like shampoo, and, you know, when we broke ramen, that was like crazy for us, you know, and now we're doing CBD. That's like next level. But as we go along, we're going to start releasing more and more stuff. We recently launched kitchenware, right? Which is a, you know, more hard good. We've got, you know, I don't know what I'm allowed to say we're going to be launching in the future, but we're going to be launching other products that are kind of in line with CBD, right? That are sort of the kind of things you would, you know, would make a lot of sense for a company that sells CBD to also be selling these products. And I love how I'm like fake building up, anticipation, but, stay tuned, join our mailing list. Anyway, what's going to happen, I think, down the road is, I think, potentially as we expand our relationship into these other categories, I think we're going to see that what works with CBD might be the same exact person who works with some of our other more, like, you know, risque products that we're going to kind of sell down the line. So I think the value in working with Philo from an audience insight perspective is going to be, how can we use that to leverage our relationship with Philo down the road when we have these new launches?
It makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I think a question really for maybe both of you, as, you know, we have a ton of folks who tune in every week to the show, and, you know, they're tuning in to hear about compliance, they're tuning in to hear about marketing, they're tuning in to hear about programmatic, kind of the whole gambit. But I'm just curious, you know, maybe from you two as the experts, right? You know, Miles from a performance marketing perspective, and James is an expert trader. Any recommendations or any top tips, you know, for maybe some brands that are listening in on, you know, what are some of the best recommendations that, you know, if they're looking to, you know, get into programmatic, especially in the CBD or THC space? Like, what are things they should be thinking about first?
I think, you know, one of the most important things for any brand who is thinking about launching some sort of programmatic support is to very clearly define what success looks like for that specific program. Because programmatic channels can be leveraged to influence all sorts of things. Someone's behavior on a website, the purchasing of a specific product, their physical visitation to a, you know, brick and mortar retail store, their general viewpoint on a brand in terms of brand awareness, ad recall, consideration, brand favorability. And I think that a lot of brands get, and I don't want to say overwhelmed, but look at programmatic as a channel that could, you know, maybe accomplish all of those things at the same time for them, when in reality, it makes a lot more sense to define goals more clearly and have a really good understanding of what channels within your overall program are going to support those specific goals. Because then from there, you can have a much more prescriptive overall audience strategy, because you can align on what specific consumer profiles are most likely to achieve one specific goal. If I'm running an activation that is meant to serve low funnel conversions like a sale on site, but I also want to have an understanding of, say, how the average consumer, you know, who's maybe further up in their conversion journey or is just beginning their relationship with cannabis products, that's a very different type of consumer profile than somebody who's ready to pull the trigger and make a purchase. And who you're going to be targeting, you know, isn't going to, for that type of awareness driving goal, isn't going to be serving the lower funnel activation, you know, all that well. Those things take a lot of time. So I think aligning on goals and understanding exactly what success looks like for a specific initiative is one of the most important things that a brand can do, because it influences all of the recommendations around audience targeting, channel selection, optimization goals. And I, you know, can't stress enough that when brands try to do too many things with one channel, you know, it can create a little bit of muddiness in reporting and hurts campaign performance in terms of different goals overall.
Got it. And guys, just, you know, before we kind of break here, I think from a, you know, just a program perspective, you know, obviously you guys are working really well together. What do you think were some of the biggest factors in, you know, making sure that this, you know, program was as successful as it has been?
Mm-hmm. I think for me personally, it's been how easy it is to work together, you know? I have never had any kind of issues with communication. If anything, I've been the problematic one, you know, the one who's harder to get in touch with. Yeah. You know, so I think you have a very, very solid team of account managers, which is good. And then you have excellent traders, which is great. You know, because in the end of the day, I not only need to get or align the goals of Public Goods with the capabilities of Philo, but I also need people who can execute, right? So for me, it's all, you know, there's no secret sauce in what's working well and what's not. It's just doing everything well.
Perfect. Yeah, and I think that, you know, from our side of the fence, like having a day-to-day point of contact on the client side who is able to provide us with a lot of insight and feedback into the data that they see on the back end, which is not something that we always get from client teams, just puts so much context around the activations that we're managing on a daily basis and really helps us understand beyond just the pixel data that our systems are able to track, what the impact of a specific initiative or campaign is having on the overall business. And Miles has been super forthcoming about, you know, providing us with feedback and data in terms of what he's seeing on back-end sales and detailing for us kind of how they're analyzing this using some of those, you know, studies off of, you know, the data that we have and some of the broader data that they have access to. That type of collaboration isn't something that, you know, I would say all of our client teams, you know, necessarily have in place. And all of that just benefits, you know, the program in aggregate.
Awesome. Well, guys, really appreciate you both hopping on and, you know, talking to us about, you know, this special growth series. So, again, I appreciate the time, Miles and James. Excellent having you on, and you know, congrats on all the success so far. Looking forward to see even more incredible results coming down the pipe.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.